Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Wasn't that incredible worship tonight? Can we put our hands together for this incredible team? You guys are awesome. They're singing, "Let Faith Rise Up." And how many of you know that's all of our prayer tonight, right? When faith is stirred, our lives are changed. Well, my name, like Pastor Joel said, is Dawn Cherie Wilkerson. And I bring a lot of love and a lot of sunshine from Miami, Florida tonight. But you can tell by the accent that I carry that I'm not from Miami originally. I'm actually from 3 hours away from right here. Shreveport, Louisiana is my hometown. And I'm so thankful to be here with you tonight. I met your pastor several years ago. And I'm so grateful for friends like Pastor Joel and Pepe, because sometimes God places people in your life and from the moment you meet them, they feel like family. You know what I'm talking about? And that's how it was immediately with your pastors. And we're so inspired by what God's doing here in your community and through you. And I'm so excited about phase 2. Come on, August 19th. Is anybody excited about what's going on right here at your church? But man, I thank God for your pastors, for their faith, for their love, for their encouragement in our lives. You're a part of a church that is not just making a difference locally, but is making a difference across this country. I don't know if you know that, but it takes leaders who have a vision that is large. It takes leaders who walk by faith, not by sight. And those are the leaders that you have. This is a house of legacy. And this is a house that the legacy is going to continue for many years to come because of the faithfulness of your leaders. And I, for one, am very thankful for their impact in our life. So can we just put our hands together tonight? Pastor Joel and Pastor Pepe, I love you. I wish I could hang later with you. You know, 10 weeks ago, the greatest miracle of our life in my marriage transpired. I gave birth to our very first baby. And this kid has been keeping us moving since the first day he was born. He turned 10 weeks yesterday, and he was actually supposed to come with us today, but it didn't work out. He actually needed to stay for the night, so I'm leaving at 4 a.m. in the morning to get back to him. But I'm just so thankful to be here with you tonight. I wouldn't miss it, because God's put a word on my heart, and I believe he's going to speak to you. How many of you know whenever God's word goes forth, we're changed from the inside out? Amen? And I come from a loud church. Okay, so will you preach with me tonight?
Yes.
Come on, will you preach with me tonight?
Yes.
Okay, good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start at verse 1 and go through verse 6. It reads this: "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And I love the way the Message interpretation states verse 2. It says this: "Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you." And I want to speak to you for the next few moments on this thought: lost letters. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, I just thank you so much for this incredible community. Lord, I thank you that we are all a part of the global church. God, that we are one body, we're one family. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for your love. I thank you for your presence that is here tonight. I pray right now that we would open up our hearts, that our faith would be stirred, that our eyes would be opened as we look to your word. We love you and we thank you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Bible is a collection of stories. And as we move into the New Testament, we find that the Bible then turns into a collection of letters. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. As you go through the New Testament, so many different letters by the early apostles, the followers of Jesus. And these letters by the apostles are actually known as epistles. Now, I don't know if that's funny to you, but I think somebody had a little bit of lack of creativity when they were trying to think of what to call these letters, but they are the epistles. And as I read these letters, letters of people who knew Jesus intimately, letters recorded of the day-to-day conversations of our Lord and Savior, I have to wonder if those early apostles ever dreamed that 2,000 years later, we would be reading the letters of their lives. And as I read their letters, I have to ask myself the question, could it be that long after our lives are gone, that people will be reading the letters of our lives? Letters of faith, letters of the faithfulness of our God. You see, this book, the Bible, is God's letter to you, but your life is a letter to the world. Just like 2 Corinthians states it loud and clear, your life is a letter that the world can read simply by looking at you. And as followers of Jesus, we seek to create the letter of our life to display the character of our God. We could go row by row, seat by seat, and every single one of us would represent and reflect the love and character of our God in a unique way, a different facet, a different side of our God. Why? Because your life is unique. It's unlike anyone else in all of history. Yet, as unique as each and every one of our lives are, how many of you know we were all born to reflect the same love of an everlasting God? This is God's plan and will for us. We could go seat by seat and we could see how you reflect the love of God. Maybe it's through education. Maybe the letter of your life shows that God's given you a brain that was meant to stretch and to grow, that where you are today is not where you will be in the future as you apply yourself. Maybe the facet of God's character is shown through you as a mother or as a father, that God has given you the ability to reflect community. God has given you the ability to reflect his love, his inclusion. Maybe today you are in the legal field. Maybe today you're a doctor or a nurse. I don't know what you do, whether you're a student or an athlete, but today you're called to reflect the character of our God. Every field, a facet of God, his justice, his compassion, his responsibility, our God's servant leadership. These are just a few of the letters that are being written in this room. But how many of you know that God is far more concerned with who you are than what you do? You see, the true work that is going on today in all of our lives is going on where we cannot see with the human eye. It's taking place in the supernatural within our spirit. And who you are is far more important than what you do. Hear me tonight. The true creative process is what the Spirit of God is creating in your heart. There's a creative process taking place even now within every single one of us. The letter of our life has begun. And the Spirit of God himself is creating and writing the narrative of that letter. Let me ask you, have you ever thought about the creative process that takes place in the spirit realm. Sometimes when I close my eyes in worship, I begin to imagine and think about heaven and eternity. And while it's wonderful to look forward to eternity, understand that the Spirit of God is moving in the here and now. You may not be able to see it, but He's doing something on the inside of you. He's creating something that no human hand could ever create. And what does that creative process look like? I think it's got to be more beautiful than any artist could ever dream or imagine. What does it look like in the spirit realm when a heart that was lost is suddenly found? What kind of explosion of color, what kind of beauty imbued takes place when a heart that was isolated and lonely suddenly finds community? I think it's got to be more beautiful than anything we could ever imagine. The Spirit is doing a work within us far before it's seen externally. Know that the Spirit is doing something internally. But hear me tonight. Your life is a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. So my question to you tonight is, what is God doing within your spirit? Because if your life is a letter, the truth is whatever's going on the inside of you is what the world can see in the here and now. Every letter has different parts of a letter. And you know, the first part of every letter is the context. Every letter has a context. The definition for context is the circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. See, context is everything. Have you ever received a text message from someone that they didn't mean to send to you and it makes no sense at all? There's no context. How about this? A letter crumpled up and passed to you, reading, "Help me," could be someone who is in the most dangerous peril of their life, trying to escape a dangerous situation, or it could just be someone trying to get out of detention. Context is everything. And when it comes to the context of the letter of your life, you have to understand that from the moment you surrender your life to Jesus, the context of the letter of your life becomes once and for all the same power that conquered the grave lives within me. I don't know what the past was for your story. I don't know what people have labeled you as. I don't know the words that have been spoken over your life. But the moment you accept God into your heart, the future is that God walks beside you. The promise is that He will never leave you. The future holds eternity, and it's sure and it's secure. This is the context of the letter of your life. And it's not shaken, and it can't be changed with the seasons. The context of the letter of your life is the same power that conquered the grave lives within me. But hear me tonight. The Spirit will only write upon that which is surrendered. Ephesians says this, chapter 5, verse 11 through 16. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work. The barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds. See how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. The word says busy work, barren pursuits of darkness. How many of you know that darkness is barren? But the moment we surrender our life to Jesus, it doesn't matter how dark the night is. The cross, the grave, the resurrection declares that the context of your life is no longer the shame that your life once held, but you are now covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Everything has been removed from the past. Behold, you are a new creation. But I think in life, a lot of times we get our context confused with our circumstance, and they are very different. 8 years ago, my husband and I, we started the journey, really, of our marriage. We'd been married for 3 years at the time. It was my 25th birthday. 8 years ago, I woke up on a normal day to get to work, but I had an early doctor's appointment. I went into the doctor. I was hurrying because I needed to get to work on time. And I'll never forget the doctor coming into that room and looking at me and saying, "Dawn Cherie, your blood test results came back and they're irregular. And you are going to have a tough time having a child." Rich and I had been trying to start a family, and I couldn't even believe the words as they came out of her mouth. I'm from a family. My mom gave birth to 6 children. Listen, I thought, "You're crazy. You got the wrong person." My dad winked at my mom and she got pregnant. This is not going to be an issue for me. But that started an 8-year journey of us trying to start a family. Let me tell you, infertility can make you feel like you are in a wilderness. Infertility can make you feel like your circumstance will never change. It can make you feel like you're isolated. It can make you feel like no one knows what you are going through. And maybe today you sit in your seat and there is a pain and a struggle in you that you have walked through season after season. Can I speak faith to your heart tonight? It's a circumstance of life. It is not the context of your life. The context of your life is the same power that conquered the grave lives within you. You keep believing. You keep trusting. You keep knowing that you are not alone. That God walks beside you. You know, we came to a place far before I held our child in my arms. We came to a place where we realized, Jesus, this circumstance may never change, but the context of your blood and of your love and of your peace and your joy overrides any circumstance in my life in every single season. Come on, can anybody testify tonight? God is faithful. He is sure. And I found, even in the waiting, I found who God truly was. I came to a place where I realized that the baby wasn't my treasure. Yes, he is a gift straight from heaven, but Jesus is my treasure. Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He has not abandoned you. He has not turned his face from you. His eyes are on you tonight. His heart is turned towards you, and his love reaches out to you where you are. Awaken to the presence of God that seeks you out. Awaken to the context of Christ that is sure and secure. Hear me. Just as the word of God can be taken out of context, you can live your life out of context. You can say one thing and do another, and the letter of your life doesn't make any sense to the world around you. But as you begin to allow the word of God to take root in your heart, as you find yourself in community, like you took the time and effort to do so tonight, you watch as the Spirit of God begins to write the letter of your life like only He can. Come on, do you believe it tonight? Let's put our hands together for thankful that the context of our life is the everlasting love of God. Every letter has a context, but secondly, every single letter always holds content. Every letter holds content. Content, the definition of content, is the things that are held or included in something. So let me ask you tonight, what is the content of the letter of your life? Not where will you be in 5 years. Not where will you be next month when you finally get your personal devotion time down. What is the content of the letter of your life today? Because hear me, the content you consume will be the content you create. And what you're consuming right now is creating the letter of your life that the world is reading simply by looking at you. We know this from the word of God. As the man thinks in his heart, so is he. Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Bad company corrupts good character. What I consume is what I create. And there's so much content that we are inundated with in this world today. See, our world has never had more access to information. In all of history, our generation has more information than any other generation in all of history. We wake up to our cell phone being full of messages in our inbox. We wake up to that little Instagram icon and we scroll and we scroll and we scroll. We wake up to news headlines flashing at us, consuming our attention, taking our eyes to the urgent and the immediate. And we consume and consume and consume, and still we find ourselves empty. Meanwhile, our Bible sits dusty on the side of our bed. And if we would take the time to open it up, we would start to consume something that would actually fill us up. We would start to consume something that would satisfy our soul. How many of you know that as we find ourselves in moments of worship like tonight, it changes us from the inside out? Our situation may not change, but the way we see it changes. Our circumstances may not change, but the way we see our God in the midst of it suddenly changes. As we consume the word of God, as we find ourselves in community, as we enter into worship, as we lean into the word, we are filled up with that which satisfies our soul. But instead, we consume everything else around us. We wake up consuming. We go to bed consuming, and still we want more. Why? Because those things were never meant to satisfy our soul. It's only the presence of God. Worship has to take the majority. Seeking God has to take our priority. Only His word can mold us into who He has created us to be. So maybe today you're sitting in your seat and you're taking notes and you're thinking, okay, Don Cherie, you just told me what the content shouldn't look like. So what should the content of my life look like? I thank God for His word because it's so clear to us. This is what the word of God says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. You want great content? Learn to be content. Because when you learn to be content with who God created you to be, the letter of your life will produce the greatest content you could ever dream. But too often we find ourselves striving, overachieving, comparing ourselves to the people on our left and our right, allowing our mind to be consumed with thoughts of measuring up, not to the call of God on our life, not to what God has placed before us, but what people present to the sides of us. And God has given a call for each and every one of you. One is not greater than the other. God has poured out His life so that you could find purpose, so that you could find a destiny. But hear me, the greatest attack on your life, it may not be sickness. The greatest attack on your life may not be a broken, horrible situation. But the greatest attack on your life might just be distraction. Because if the enemy can take your eyes off of the path that God has placed in front of you, he's already won the battle. Why should he bring anything bad into your life when you've already taken your eyes off of what God has placed before you? God's called us to shut out the distractions. Can I be honest with you? This is one of the greatest struggles in my life because our world is inundated with distractions. Our world is inundated with the urgent. But I find it every single time that as I take the time that I have to shut myself away with God, He redeems the time in ways I could never dream. That he speaks so clearly if I simply seek him. Today, maybe you're wondering how you can hear the voice of God. I want to encourage you. You can hear him as you just take the time to seek him. He responds to those who seek him. The word of God says he goes to and fro all over the earth looking for those who would turn their hearts to him. He's waiting for you to open up your heart so that he can write the content of the letter of your life. Don't become a lost letter. We become lost letters when we become a regurgitation of the people on our left and our right. You're far too special for that. You were created with far too much care and attention to detail. You are a masterpiece. God wants to allow the letter of your life to speak to the world around you. Don't become a lost letter. Allow the Spirit of God to write the content of the letter of your life. The final part of any letter is the credit. You see, every single letter has content, has context. But finally, how many of you know every letter has credit? The definition of credit is to publicly acknowledge someone as a participant in the production of something published or broadcast, to ascribe, to accredit, to assign, to attribute. So if the Spirit wrote it, who gets the credit? Who's writing the letter of your life? And who are you giving the credit to? Because there is always a signature. Every letter always has a signature. And if there's not a signature, there are initials. And if there are no initials, then handwriting experts will study the work to decipher who is responsible for this letter. And when it comes to the letter of our life, may it always be Jesus. May the name of Jesus be written across the letter of our lives. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. You're my master, my savior. Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus, we say Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. They will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Come on, there's something about the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, the darkness has to leave. At the name of Jesus, chains are broken. At the name of Jesus, light floods in the most impossible circumstance. At the name of Jesus, we see hope where there was once despair. I believe there are people in this room that God is waiting for you to open up your eyes to what the Spirit wants to write within you so the world can read the letter of your life. I believe there are people in this room with all of my heart that you are going to invade spheres of society that have been invaded by darkness for far too long. I believe God is going to lead you through doors that only God could open, that he's going to give you platforms that only God could create. But as you walk through the doors and as you stand on the platforms, may you walk through those doors and stand on those platforms knowing who deserves the credit. That you walked through those doors to lift up the name of Jesus. That God gave you that influence to speak the name of Jesus. That God made that path. box so that you could lead others to the hope that you have found. And as the band comes tonight, if you hear anything tonight, hear this. Your life was purposed and destined to shine brighter than you could ever imagine. But it won't be your own works and it won't be your own gifts that change the world around you. It will be the power of Almighty God within you. And how does He begin to change the atmosphere of your home? How does He begin to change the atmosphere of your work? How does He begin to change the atmosphere of your school? As you open up your heart to His presence, and as you receive Him for yourself, and as you trust Him and begin to know that everything you need comes from Jesus, as He changes you, the world around you will not be able to ignore the miraculous change that is transpiring in your life. See, the letter of your life, it's not written with human hands. It's written by the power of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is waiting to do that which only He can do. Why do we come into a place like this and think for a moment that it's because of a person that makes this place special? It's the way that she sings that song, or the way that he leads that team, or that person's creativity. Hear me, that's all great. But you know what makes this place special? Jesus. It's that he loves his church. It's that he hasn't given up on his church. It's not plan B. He hasn't written us off with all of our mistakes and our brokenness. He still loves his church. And it's still his plan A, and he's still building his church. He's still loving his church. He's still making a way for his church. All the way since the beginning, it's always been about our God. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 says this. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he certainly could have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him. And that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. Hear me, we have not started this. This is not our idea. This has been God's idea from day one. And he will continue it until he sends Jesus to return. He's building his church and he's using us. That's his plan. How many letters become lost because they thought that they were writing the narrative? Hear me tonight. The truth is, you're just a letter. You're like, Don, sure, you've already said that. But hear me, you're just a letter. Your letter does not reach its full potential alone. You see, it's not complete when you try to do it alone. The world can't see it. See, there's a letter, and then there's a letter. And the letter of your life is not complete until you join with other letters. That's the way that God created us to be. See, you can make a lot of noise with your single letter of your life, but you can declare a message when you join with the letters around you and you walk in the power of community the way that God created you to be. You can get loud and noisy about your letter. You can shout it from the rooftops, or you can unite with those around you and you can declare to the world, you are loved despite your mistakes, despite your brokenness, despite your past. Come to Jesus, all of you who are weary, who are broken, and he will give you rest. This is the message that the world reads as they see our lives united. But hear me, maybe tonight, if you're being honest, you'd say, Dawn Sheree, that is not how the letter of my life looks. It's not beautiful like that. I don't know if you got a professional to come in and do all those beautiful script and scroll, and that's not the letter of my life. No, I was writing a birthday card to someone the other day, and as I was writing the card, I made a huge mistake. And how many of you have ever been there? You're like, I don't have a backup plan. I bought one card. That's it. We got to make this work. So what did I do? I just put a big X through it, and I kept writing. I had to do what I had to do, but maybe today you'd say, Dawn Sheree, if I'm being honest, the letter of my life is full of X's. It's full of mistake after mistake. It's full of erase until it hurts marks that I can't seem to start again. What would God say to me? Now, maybe today you're sitting in your seat and you'd love to believe that God has a future, a hope. But as you look over your shoulder to your past, all you see is impossibility after impossibility. And you think, why would God want to use me? Maybe today you think that the letter of your life just reads the word divorce. You say, Dawn Sheree, you don't know the pain that I've been through. What started off as a fairy tale has ended in a way that I never dreamed. And my heart's broken. My future seems to be shattered. And the letter of my life, well, it's just trash. How could God ever use that? Maybe today you'd say, Dawn Sheree, the letter of my life reads lazy. I've had opportunity after opportunity. I've answered the altar calls on Wednesday night. I've surrendered year after year, but I always just go back to doing whatever I want to do. I've missed my chance. How could God ever redeem the letter of my life? It's trash. God doesn't want to use that. Maybe tonight the letter of your life is addiction. And maybe no one in this room knows what you struggle with. But every single time you think that you have gained freedom, it pulls you back into that dark pit and you are bound to your desires. And you sit in your seat and you say, Dawn Sheree, my life is marked by something that I don't think I'll ever be able to erase. How could God ever use the letter of my life? It's trash. Maybe tonight your heart is broken. It's not just broken, it's shattered into a million pieces. Beyond healing, beyond hope, you feel like God can never use your story. You say, Dawn Sheree, God can't use my story. It's great for the person on my left or right. It's great for you. I'm glad things worked out, but my letter, it's just trash. But I want to remind you of the scripture we read when we opened up tonight. Because we all want to look at the letter of our lives and disqualify ourselves based off of our actions or what has taken place in our lives. But here, 2 Corinthians again, with fresh eyes, it says this: He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. See, when we try to measure ourselves up according to our works or what we've done or what's happened to us, it is death to us. But when we awaken to the hope that is poured and flooded into our spirit because of the presence of God, we realize that our life is not measured by our own works, but that we have a Father in heaven who runs to us. Our Father in heaven runs to us, and He runs the broken pieces. He says, I'm not going to waste this piece. I'm not going to throw away this piece that you thought was the trash, or I'm going to use this for my glory. I'm going to give you beauty for your ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for your mourning. I'm going to work every broken area of your life into a masterpiece that brings glory and honor to my name. This is the plan of our God. Because hear me today, you are not a lost letter. You want to know what this beautiful picture is made up of? This letter is 100% recycled. It's made up of the trash. It's been fashioned out of that which has been thrown away. You're not a lost letter, you're a love letter. You're a love letter sent straight from heaven to earth. And God wants to use your life for His glory. Will you awaken tonight? Not to your mistakes, not to your past, not to your inadequacies, but to the Spirit of God. Because He wants to write a letter on your life that the world will read and will testify of the love and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Come on, do you believe it all over this house? Can we put our hands together for our God? You're not a lost letter. You are a love letter. And all over this house, would you bow your heads with me? I believe that all over this room, God is speaking to hearts. I hope that as I was speaking, that the love of God was made known to you through His word. Because He's pursued you. You may have thought that it's your plans that brought you here tonight. But there's a God in heaven that adores you. There's a God in heaven that gave everything, not so that you could walk through these doors and feel condemned, but so that you could walk through these doors and know that you're chosen, that you are a new creature through Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Maybe today in this room, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never made that decision to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. Well, tonight, you have the opportunity not to respond to me, but to respond to the love of God that has pursued you since before your life began. And on the count of three, if you would say, "Dawn Cherie, today I choose to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to make Him my Lord and my Savior." All over this house, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand on the count of three. I'm going to count to three. One, this is between you and your neighbor. This is between you and Jesus, not between you and your neighbor. Shut out the distractions. The love of God's pursuing you. Number two, don't put off a decision until tomorrow that needs to be made today. Three, all over this house, hands being raised. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hands. More importantly, God sees your heart. One more moment I'll give you. Praise God. You can put your hands down. And, you know, I just have a second call right now for people in this room that, you know, maybe you've been walking with Jesus for 30 years. Maybe you gave your life to God last week. But you know Jesus, but today, maybe this message was just for you. And you'd say, "Dawn Cherie, tonight the Holy Spirit's spoken to me about the context, or maybe the content, the credit. And as I walk out of this place tonight, I want God to change my heart. He's spoken some things to me. He's shown some things to me. I want to pray for you right where you sit. With no one looking around, will you just raise your hands? I want to pray for you tonight." You say, "Dawn Cherie, God's spoken to me tonight. Will you pray for me?" Praise God. You can put your hands down. And now all over this place, can we just stand to our feet? And if you feel comfortable from the back to the front, I would just ask that you would lift up both of your hands. Maybe you've never done this before. It's an act of surrender, saying, "God, I give everything that I'm holding on to you. I receive everything that you are." Will you pray this prayer with me? Say, "Dear Jesus, today I choose to throw my life into your hands. I'm celebrating your rescue. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and that you rose again. Forgive me. I love you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, can we put our hands together for everybody who made that decision? Praise God. And you know, no one moving right now, because I want to pray for the second group of people. And again, if we'll just lift our hands up. Lord, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters in this room. God, you know their names and you know their stories. God, you know the questions in their heart. God, you know the circumstances that they will go home to tonight. And God, I pray that you would make your presence known to them tonight. God, that you would reassure them that you are for them. You are not against them. Lord God, I pray that they would pick up the weapon of faith that you've placed before them. God, I pray that they would fight the good fight of faith, that they would know that they are a conqueror, God, not because of what they've achieved or because of their good works, but because of what you have already done. You said it is finished. So they are a conqueror. They are a winner. They are a champion through you. And so God, with their hands raised, I speak strength over them. I speak peace over them. I speak the joy of the Lord over them. And God, we rejoice in what you've done. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's give God